Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You, Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Tuesday, June 26th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 77, starting with the first paragraph. We don't use this as an excuse, reading through three paragraphs, ending with, "It's water over the dam." And the comments will be on all three paragraphs. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Stephanie L., The 12 Traditions, Kathy G., and the readers of the text are Sherry K.B. and Terry A.H. The share ID for Monday, June 25th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 11,581. That's 11581. And for Tuesday, today, June 26th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 11,584, 11584. All right. The OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. And I will now ask Stephanie L. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Power.
Thank you, Stephanie L., and I'll now ask Kathy G. to read the 12 traditions.
Thanks, Mo, and good morning, everyone. This is Kathy G., recovered compulsive overeater from Illinois. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks again. I pass.
Thank you, Kathy G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book on page, and we are on page 77, starting with the first paragraph. We don't use this as an excuse. And we are reading through three paragraphs, ending on page 78. It is water over the dam. And I will ask Sherry KB to begin.
Good morning, Mo. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. We don't use this as an excuse for shying away from the subject of God. When it will serve any good purpose, we are willing to announce our convictions with tact and common sense. The question of how to approach the man we hated will arise. It may be he has done us more harm than we have done him. And though we may have acquired a better attitude toward him, we're still not too keen about admitting our faults. Nevertheless, with a person we dislike, we take the bit in our teeth. It is harder to go to an enemy than to a friend, but we find it much more beneficial to us. We go to him in a helpful, forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill feeling and expressing our regret. Under no conditions do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply, we tell him that we will never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. We're there to sweep off the side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so, never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the result. In 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. Sometimes the man we are calling upon admits his own fault, so feuds of years standing melt away in an hour. Rarely do we fail to make satisfactory progress. Our former enemies sometimes praise what we are doing and wish us well. Occasionally, they will offer assistance. It should not matter. Sorry, my cat. It should not matter if someone does throw us out of his office. We have made our demonstration, done our part. It's water over the dam. And I'm very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. And I'll start my timer. It's really interesting. I was listening to the earlier meeting this morning, and it's funny. Leslie W. was talking about an example, and I'm actually the example of the neighbor. I had two dogs that were very young and would break out of the yard into the neighbor's yard. They were border collie cattle dogs. And she eventually called the Marin Humane Society and blah, 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 and said some terrible things. And, you know, don't you know, for 10 years I held that against her because they tried to put my two my 11-week-year-old border collie cattle dogs in quarantine. So I had built up a case against her big time. Fast forward, you know, this is 2016, and I'm doing this work this way, and this comes up in this neighbor. And, of course, I built that story up in my mind, you know, the way compulsive readers do. And wouldn't you know that she was on the list, and I thought, I don't owe her an amends. And so, but I did, because I kept up the story in my mind. I built it up in my mind. My part was, is I kept holding on to the resentment. That was my part. So I thought, what am I going to do about this? So I talked to various recovered compulsive overeaters, and I came up with the idea to pray for her for 30 days. And I, wouldn't you know, I prayed for her for 30 days. I did the sick person's prayer. I did the prayer on page 417, which is acceptance. I did 552. I did the resentment prayer. And, you know, I did that for 30 days. Still didn't feel exactly on it, so I did it for 30 more days. And wouldn't you know, I'd run into her around the 60th day. And all of a sudden, all that washed away from me. And she had gotten a little dog, and it wasn't behaving, it wasn't listening to her, and she was afraid of dogs. I didn't know that. And she was trying. And so I ended up doing something for her that was an amends towards her. I helped her with something. And little did I know, that's how I was going to make amends to this person. And what you know, when I see her now, I look forward to seeing her. Before, I would have avoided her like the plague because I built up such a case. But I had to let it go because that was my part, is holding on to that story. And I kept re-injuring myself and other people, and I'd tell the story. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Sherry KB. Perfect timing. So for those of you who just came on the line, we are reading, starting on page 77, first paragraph, "We don't use this as an excuse," through three paragraphs, ending with "It's water over the dam." Comments on all three. And I will now take names for those who'd like to share.
Maren.
Carrie S.
Carrie, K-E-R-R?
Yeah, Carrie, yes.
Okay.
Maren K.
Maren K. Got you, Maren.
Kathy G.
Okay. Kathy G. Quiet. I have Maren K., Terry S., and Kathy G. Anyone else?
Lee K.
Okay. Lee K. Anyone else? We'll just start with this group. All right. We'll start with this group, and we'll take another group. I have Maren K., Terry S., Kathy G., and Lee K. Maren K., will you please begin?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks, Mo, for doing service. Everybody else on the line for sharing. I'm in the middle of a four-step. I'm doing my 100th four-step. But I know that this is about the ninth step, going to and actually talking to people about what you did wrong. I did this with my family, and I had a very good experience with that. I did it with my mother and father and my brothers and sisters, and I did it with my employers. I was an actor, and I found the directors that I worked with, and I found them, and, you know, none of them were really happy about it. They weren't really too happy to see me because I had been a big mess, but I did it for myself. And I also found someone my agent that was in New York, I found him, and about 2 years ago, and he did not no idea where I was for since I was 20. I'm 58, and I found him, and I made amends to him through a letter, and now we're best friends and talk all the time. So this is such a great step to get to clear away the wreckage of your past, you know. And I'm in the middle of another fourth step, so I know I'll be doing this again, amends. I know that with my parents, I have recently had a very big switch in the way I feel about them. My father has Alzheimer's, and my mother's he's 94, my mother's 90, and I am actually able to be of service, and I don't hate them anymore. I think it's a result of the program and working these steps that I have been able to not be angry anymore at my parents, which I've held responsible for so many of my problems. And I just think it's not something to be scared of, to go to people and ask for help. I mean, to say you're sorry and apologize. It's a great thing. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Marin K. Terry S., followed by Kathy G. Terry?
Good morning. Hi, this is Terry S., recovered in Golden, Colorado, and living in the sunlight of the spirit. Thank you, God, for these steps and the directions in this book. So in 8 and 9, I practice humility and self-discipline in 8, and now in step 9, I am practicing the principle of courage. And it does take so much courage to go to our enemy and take the bit in our mouth. And here, simply, we tell him that we will never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. So these are warnings that the book is telling us, that it was agreed at the beginning we would go to any lengths for victory over alcohol. Because if we don't take the courage of step 9, we will pick up and we will eat again. And how free do I want to be? Right. The question is, why do I take steps 8 and 9? Because I'm not looking for a response from the people I've hurt. And I have to be mindful not to go overboard in my step 9s, because maybe I'm looking for that pat on the back, that validation, or that hit. So I need to have humility. And that was my experience, especially in a situation where I had stolen money from an employer over a few years. And I, right off the bat, when I was first in program, I was like, oh, I want to go to her. I want to go to her and pay back that money. But this is why we do the steps in order. We take them in order. We don't jump out of line. And so for me, I definitely had to write a script prior to going to that person and discuss it with a closed mouth trusted advisor. My favorite part, the part that helps, I think, the most, is to be a good listener at the end and say, you know, I heard you say this. You know, is there anything more that you need me to hear from you? And just be open to listening. Be willing to hear that hard thing that person might have to say to you. So today I'm very grateful for the steps, and I'm grateful that I've learned courage. And if you're still struggling, know that the steps are the answer. They really are. That's my experience. So with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Carrie S. Kathy G., followed by Lee K.
Thanks, Mo. Good morning, everyone. It's Kathy G., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Illinois. And thanks so much for your service. And thank you so much, Leslie W. and Sherry KB, for helping to lift the veil off of a blind spot this morning. Wow. You know, when the book says more will be revealed, it just happened to me in a flash, in an instant. As I was listening to you discuss the neighbors and then listened to, our last caller talk about courage, it all came together. And I'm going to put on my gardening shoes and get outside, because I realize that I have this side yard on the side of my house. And I have these two, let's just say, kind of peculiar neighbors on the other side of that fence. And I have so focused on their peculiar behavior and sometimes bizarre behavior that I haven't even thought to really take full responsibility for my own. So this side yard, when we moved in the house, they had stones out there. It was a dog run, but we've never used it as a dog run. And you can't see it from the street, and it's very hidden. but they can see it through the fence. It's kind of hidden, but they can still see in there. And there's overgrown weeds over there, and they're very, very particular about their yard. And I think it's really bothered them, just based by and kind of under his breath comment that he made to me last week. And so rather than judging him, I am getting out there during this meeting. So I'll be weeding and pulling these weeds so that they can have a nice view on the other side of the fence. And I'm so grateful for that today. When I was doing the fourth step, I remember having this fear with my sponsor. What if I miss something? What if I miss something? She goes, don't worry, it will be revealed. And just so grateful that this was revealed this morning and that I can do something about it today. So thanks so much for your sharing today, everybody. Appreciate it. I pass.
Thank you, Kathy G. Lee K. You're up.
Hi, this is Lee Kay, calling from Boulder, Colorado. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and really grateful for the absence this morning, and thanks, Mo, for your service. This steps 8 and 9 were, to say transformative, just does not fully capture it. The first time I went through the steps, I stalled out at step 9 and relapsed, and that makes a lot of sense. I was not getting down to my true causes and conditions, and that was kind of where things fell apart. And being able to have this strong foundation of 6 and 7, knowing that my defects are clear, and then actually doing step 8, actually writing out all of my letters and bringing to them and just reading. If I let my head do that talking, I will be dwelling in morbid reflection, and that's what happened the first time around. So just being very clear about my part, I was so afraid to be calling these different large corporations and telling them that I stole money. And I did have the fear of going to jail or being arrested, and just having that trust, having that faith has really kind of set the ball rolling, and it's a new freedom that I've never had before, and I'm so grateful. So I just want to thank everyone for being here, and thanks to Vision, because before this, I didn't have this level of honesty and clarity. So with that, I pass.
And thank you, Lee Kay. And for those of you who've just come on the line, or we are reading on starting on page 77, the first paragraph. We don't use this as an excuse. Reading through 3 paragraphs ending on page 78, it's water over the dam. And I will now take more people who would like to share.
Roz G.
Allison C.
Say that again.
Allison C.
Allison C. Roz G. I have first. Allison C.
Ramona A.
No, thank you, Ramona A.
Kaylee R.
Kaylee R.
Patty T.
Patty T.
Susan N.
What was that last one?
Susan N.
Okay. N. Okay, we'll stop there. All right. Somebody's a lot of wind. Roz G, Allison C, Ramona A, Kaylee R, Patty T, and Susan N. Roz G, followed by Allison C. Roz G, are you there? Press star 1 to unmute.
Hello?
Roz.
Hello?
Roz?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Roz.
I'm sorry. It was me that was unmuted. I'm out in the wind walking my dogs. So I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles County, and I was holding off on sharing because I shared yesterday, and I want to be cognizant of being an everyday sharer and not giving other chance to share, but I didn't hear anybody. So I just want to say that as the lead show said, you know, she kind of brought it to a date, something that's happening today. And I have a whole list of stuff and amends that I could talk about, but I'd like to talk about the fact that I am, you know, I'm guilty of holding a resentment on someone, and I can't let it go. And I'm praying the prayers. I need to have those 30 days. I was in an Al-Anon meeting the other night, and this woman, we don't have timer, so I was sharing, guess too long, and she knocked on the table and told me in front of everybody, there's newcomers here and other people want to share. And oh my God, I was sharing something so deep. So I just felt so hurt, and I feel resentment towards her. But as was shared earlier, you know, I'm only cutting myself off from the sunlight of the spirit by holding the resentment against her. It's me that I'm hurting. But, you know, I guess as a compulsive overeater and a person who feels things real deeply, I'm going to have to just continue to pray and not have misgivings against her. I love that we have a part that when we hold on to the resentment, we're at fault as well. Because the book says, you know, we don't retaliate. We ask God to, you know, treat them with kindness, patience, peace, tolerance, and that they're sick like me. And so that's humbling for me today. And since it's windy out here, I'm going to go ahead and pass. And thank you for giving me time. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Roz G. Allison C., followed by Ramona A.
Hi, this is Allison C. in New Jersey. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can, Allison.
Okay. So I was a little nervous to put my name out there and share because I'm only in step one, but I'm learning so much these past couple of days about steps 8 and 9 and kind of where I lacked in my willingness to do 8 and 9 when I had previously done the steps. And for me right now, if I start to think about 8 and 9, I get really freaked out, and I know that this is something that I need to do. And so when I have that fear, because, you know, I'm only in step one, but of course I'm thinking about all the other 11 ones, because that's what I do. I look into the future, which is my fear. That's what it really comes down to is the fear and is the anxiety that I'm feeling for the future and what it is that is ahead of me in my step work. And but so I've been praying about this, like, God, please help me release the fear of doing the rest of the steps. Please reveal yourself to me in that. And so when I do that, I hear back from my higher power, just have the willingness. And so what it looks like for me is like, okay, I have the willingness to put down the food. Okay, step one, I have the willingness to like claim that my life is powerless and unmanageable and really feel that, the willingness to feel that. And then, you know, here we go on to step two and the willingness to do that. And so it's like I have to take each step in order, like everyone else has been saying, do them in order. And because I'm doing them in order, it means don't look at step two, don't look at step three, don't look at step four, don't think about what it is that I just have the willingness to stay in the step that I'm in, and then ask for the willingness to do step two. And then once I get past that, the willingness to do step three. And I just really wanted to share that because I feel like maybe there's some other people on the line that are in step one, or they're newcomers, or they're in relapse. And it is very overwhelming to think about that. But I am getting a lot out of the shares. And I do pray for a lot of people that I resent. And there's been this situation of the debate of if I owe somebody an amends from previous step work. And I had a little bit of clarity. I actually had a dream about the person. And then I saw a post on Facebook in a recovery group about somebody talking about a trigger that they had, and I realized that this person triggers me in a certain way, and that I'm going to need a lot of group support. I'm going to need a lot of talking to different fellows and a lot of prayer when the time does come, if I do choose to make amends to this person. So I will pass. Allison C. in New Jersey.
Thank you, Allison C. Ramona A., followed by Kaylee R.
Hi, this is Ramona A. Am I being heard?
Yes, you are. Thank you, Ramona.
Thanks. Ramona A. recovered in Vermont, and thank you, everyone, for your service. This is a wonderful paragraph, and everyone shares have triggered something in my mind as I listened, you know, and the idea that more will be revealed, you know, this. I'm going through the steps again, and it isn't the first time. It's many times, as someone else shared, and more is being revealed. And I was feeling, you know, that it was time to do this again. So there's one particular amends that I think I have to make. And in the beginning, I was afraid, oh, I don't want to face these people because, you know, talk about ruin your reputation, you know, I'm really catastrophizing about it, but it just seemed like a very embarrassing thing, and I hadn't caught it before, and maybe for a reason, maybe my mind was really subduing it. But I know in thinking about it that when I do this, you know, I'm going to be free. I'm going to be freer, and it's going to be wonderful to do it. And even make connection. I haven't seen these people in 20 years, so even make connection again possibly and see, you know, how their lives have been in that time. And I'm just working through the fourth step on it now and working with a step guide. And so I will be patient and wait, you know, until it gets to the eighth and ninth step and see how to contact these people and how to make that amends. But so I haven't always been looking forward to making amends, you know, but in this one, even though it still feels embarrassing, which I guess that's what ninth steps are about, partially to clean up my side of the street, I really want to do it. You know, I can't wait to do it and really be freer and to also, I think one of the principles of step nine is love, to really become a person who can love these people rather than doing the very selfish thing that I did at the time this happened. So it's just wonderful to read these paragraphs and to hear everyone shares, and I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Ramona A. And I will now ask Kaylee R. To read, to share, and you'll be followed by Patty T.
Hi, this is Kaylee R. Can I be heard?
Yes, Kaylee, you can.
Thank you. Thank you, Mo, for your service. Thank you, everybody who read today and read the steps, the traditions, and person who will read the promises. Really grateful for all the shares. I've kind of been MIA for a couple weeks, and it's really good to be back on the line, listening to what everybody has to say. The reason I was able to finally press that button this morning was a friend, a fellow of ours, you know, passed away maybe a month ago, a little over a month ago, and she used to always ask me, how come you don't share? You're always on the line, but you don't share. So I heard that today when I... and I pressed star one to say my name. Anyway, I heard somebody share this morning, talking about a resentment that they felt uncomfortable around them, that they didn't feel like they owed a resentment, and I have one of those. And I couldn't figure out what amends I owe to them. I don't feel like I did anything wrong. I was trying to care for my feelings and be as gentle with them as possible, but I feel uncomfortable around them. And I think that means that I owe an amends, because I shouldn't feel uncomfortable around anyone, I guess, is kind of my thought, unless I did something wrong. So I really appreciate whoever shared that this morning, and I'm going to try to figure out how I can make an amends to them and kind of clear up my side so that maybe we have a lot of mutual friends and we see each other often, but we just look the other way and ignore each other, and I don't like that. We used to be really close. I'd like to clear that air. Oh, I'm just really, really grateful for these lines. I'm so grateful I got on this morning and claimed my seat. And, yeah, welcome to the newcomers. Keep coming back. You know, share. We don't care whether you've been here for 5 years or a day. Always share. We get so much out of what you have to say. So thank you so much, and I will pass.
And thank you, Kaylee R., Patty T., followed by Susan N.
Hi, this is Patty T., recovered compulsive eater in Southern California. Oh, gosh, thank you all for your shares this morning. This has really been an enlightening meeting, and just wonderful to hear these experiences with Steps 8 and 9. You know, many years ago when I was doing my Steps 8 and 9, I was in the process of going through my list, you know, in Step 8 to determine who I owed amends to and who I needed to forgive, because I felt so unhappy. I was carrying a lot of resentment that I didn't understand, and I thought it meant that I had done something wrong, because that's just how self-centered I was. I was responsible for everything, right? I didn't understand that resentment would make me feel just as badly as if I had hurt someone. So I really needed my sponsor to help guide me through that and to help me understand who I owed forgiveness to, as well as to myself, and who I owed amends to. And during the course of that process, I got a phone call one night, kind of late, maybe like 9:45 in the evening, and it was from a former roommate of mine. And she now lives in San Diego, and she had been living there for some years, and she said, "Hi, you know, is this a good time, or do you have a few minutes?" And I said, "Oh, sure, yeah, how are you doing, you know, whatever." And then she started talking, and she made her amends to me, and she was in another program, and she said, she started crying, and she said, I have to make amends to you because I drank your vodka." And I didn't mean to laugh, but I couldn't help it. And I said, "Oh my God, I'm in OA and I have to make an amends to you. I ate your bread." And you know, we both started laughing. You know, like, I didn't know I was an OA at the time. She didn't know she was an alcoholic at the time. But we had both stolen from one another, and she was trying to set that right. And you know, like, it was so great. Like, I don't know, it's just one of those things where, you know, I know I was supposed to go through with my sponsor about, you know, who I made amends to, but that was one of those moments when God just set it up perfectly. And as soon as she said that, I recognized my wrong toward her, and I was able to in that instant match her courage and accept my part. And I don't know, we got off the phone and it felt like we had never been apart, and it was just great. So anyway, I encourage anyone who's going through this process to keep going, because it really does have its rewards. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Patty T. That's a great story. Susan N., you'll be up next. I mean, you're next.
Hello, this is Susan N. in New York. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Susan.
Oh, thank you. I had an experience with a ninth step that I really didn't want to make to the person. I had a big resentment. I had every reason they wronged me. And my sponsor at the time, you know, I said, well, if I share this with her, she could use it against me. It can kind of backfire. And she said, it's not about you. And so I wrote the amend, and she suggested that I do it in person. So I set up a time to go do it. And it was really incredible because I had had a resentment for years to this woman. And when I did the amend, just my side of the street, it was a really clean amend. She started crying, and apparently something had been going on with her. And that amend made such a difference it meant a lot to her. I didn't understand kind of what the effect it had on her, but it was so life-changing. And we're just imperfect people. And it just, and instead of it backfiring, my resentment was completely gone. And now I can be at peace with that person. We're still not best friends, but it doesn't matter. But I found the peace that had been so, I couldn't find it for years around it. So that was just an example of how I took the bit in my teeth. But my sponsor had to really encourage me. So thank you.
Thank you for sharing, Susan. And we have time for about four more shares, if four people or so would like to share on this topic of the ninth step, amends.
Eileen
S. I would like to share. My name is Ziva.
I have Eileen. What was your last initial, Eileen?
S as in Sam.
S, I got you. Who was the next person?
Ziva. Ziva R.
Ziva, is that with a Z?
Yes.
Okay, Ziva R.
Marilyn T.
Marilyn T. And possibly one more.
Judith R.
Judith R. We'll see if we can get all of you in. All right, we'll start with Eileen S., followed by Ziva R. Eileen?
Good morning, everybody. This is Eileen S. in Portland, Oregon. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Thank you very
Great.
Much.
Great. I know sometimes I think I hit mute. Anyway, you know, I think everybody understands that. Anyway, good morning, everybody. Thank you all for your shares. I wasn't going to share this morning, and I don't even know what I'm going to share, but I haven't shared for a while, and I just feel like I need to step up and be a part of. So, because it's easy for me to talk myself out of it. I don't know if anybody relates to that. So I was just thinking about the ninth step, and I have done my steps. I have one more amends to do on this go around, but something, and I've had some amazing experiences with my ninth step. One that comes to mind is an aunt and uncle of mine who I am now extremely close to. And I had a resentment towards them because I had done some business with them years ago, and I thought they didn't like me, and I was resentful towards them. It was just difficult, the whole experience. And so I made amends to them. This is quite a few years ago now. And they were like, what are you talking about? You know, they didn't even get it, but it was for me to let go of that. And ever since that exact moment, my relationship with them just skyrocketed into such love and appreciation, and I just adore them. And I always did, and my uncle was, I was always very close to him as a child, and I missed having that relationship. And so now I have it, and it's pretty profound. One thing I was thinking as I did my last inventory, and I have had a few amends, but I haven't had any biggies like that this time, you know, and I'm thinking, well, then I must have done it wrong. I must not have done it as completely. So, you know, I need to talk to my sponsor about that. I'm going to talk to her a little later today, and I want to sort of talk about that. I am going down. I live in Portland, Oregon now, but I'm from Los Angeles, and I'm going down there tomorrow, and I'm going to be moving my mother down to San Diego with my brother. And I'm thinking, you know, I have made amends to my mom. I probably have more. I want to really make sure that I'm thorough since I'm going to be with her, see if there's anything else that I need to say to her. and then ask God, and I just need to just lean into God and bring all you guys with me. I'm going to try to listen to the meetings. I do this every morning now. It is such an amazing part of my day now to listen to all of you every morning. And you know what? On Saturday, I'm sad because I don't have you guys. Anyway, So I'm going to see, is there any more, God? Is there anything more I need to do, especially with my mom? My brother's going to be there as well, who I adore, but he gets super anxious. He has a schedule of exactly what we're going to do every day. And as I practice this program, right. I thank you. Anyway, thank you for letting me share. I appreciate all of you being here, and I'll pass.
Thank you. Thank you. We have 6 minutes left and 3 shares. If you could each take 2 minutes, that would be helpful. Ziva R. followed by Marilyn T. Ziva R., press star 1 to unmute.
Can you hear me?
I can now.
Okay. So, hi, my name is Ziva R. I'm in Los Angeles, and I'm very, very grateful for OA and for this meeting in particular. And, yes, being in program for many years, I've been in program for 38 years, and I've been abstinent for 10. I've done the 9-step many, many times, and I would say that I had, like, 4 different kinds of response to amend. So, you know, there are always the wonderful amends that heal a relationship and make things so much better. Then I had the kind of amend that when I made it to a cousin of mine, her response at the time was very unpleasant, and I was hurt by her response. And now, 5 years later, we are very, very close again, but she had a hard time accepting my amend. And then I had a very difficult amend to my ex-husband. It was difficult only in the sense that I said what I said, and he accepted the amend graciously. And then he said, but, and he listed a long list of things that he felt that I did wrong. And in my heart, I knew that everything that he's saying is coming from his narcissism and inability to reflect and really see the reality. But the only thing I said was, I can see your pain. I didn't argue. I didn't come back and say, but to what you, nothing. I just kept sitting there and listening and saying, I can see your pain. And he just finished at some point. And I called my sponsor because I was out of town when I did it, because we were both attending an event for one of our children in another state. And it was hard to not say anything because there were so many things I wanted to respond. And then the last one, when I was a teenager and I'm now 67, I have done a lot of things that were, you know, not smart and hurt other people. And when I was doing my amends, it was like, how can I repair it? I mean, it's so many years later, and it's not a specific person that I can find. Okay, so I'll just wrap up. So what my sponsor suggested, that I work with young people. And since then, all my sponsees have been very young, and that has been my living amend to my teenager. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Ziva R. Marilyn T., followed by Judith R. If you each take about a minute and a half, we can get you both in there.
Thank you, Mo T. This is Marilyn T. in, it was Mo H., by the way, California.
Yes.
I'll give you a different last name, what the heck, you know? So anyway, what I love about working with my guide, my sponsor, this time in A Vision for You, is that the things that get revealed, and they're never what I think they're going to be. This is so weird. Things just pop into my head. I mean, we are right now in 8 and 9, but yet things pop into my head back to the 4th step where I'm going to have to go back and do a 4th step on it. Without getting into details, just because we don't have enough time, but it would be a good laugh for all. Call me and I'll tell you. realizing that usually the resentment that I have against another person, it really isn't about what I'm feeling at all. Example was undercovering anger at two particular people, a father and an ex-husband, who were constantly telling me, you know, control your emotions, and A, what it was you were not entitled to have any emotions. That has been so earth-shattering in trying to figure out why I buried it. It doesn't really even matter. It's like, what are you going to do with it now? Wanting to be thorough, wanting to be honest, just, you know, admitting when you have these little brainstorms and they pop up, listening and praying about it, and taking it to your guide who can guide you on what to do about it, and just praying and being quiet with it, has just been life-changing. And I thank all of you so much for being here with me on this broad highway. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Marilyn T. Judith R., we have like a minute. Can you do a quick one there?
Well, Marilyn T., why don't you finish your story and I'll share tomorrow if she's, if she's listening. Oh, okay, I'll go quick. Marilyn?
Okay.
Judith R., we covered in Vermont.
Okay.
I did a ninth step about 30 years ago that must have been really powerful because I became neutral around the food, and I have been neutral around the food ever since, and I'm so grateful. And it was a wonderful amend, but I was sitting on hundreds of amends because I didn't understand the big book and I didn't understand the steps. So I'm just so taken with how powerful the ninth step is that it could do that much good. And I'm still doing ninth steps with my new sponsor, and she's helping me enormously. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, y'all.
Well, thank you very much, Judith, for keeping that short and sweet but powerful. And I want to thank everyone for their shares today and those that gave service, Sherry KB, Terry H., Stephanie L., and Kathy G. And we'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Terry A. H. please read a vision for you?
Thank you, Mo. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in the morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.